Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Into the 1 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley in for Cody Tapp. Cody back with us tomorrow. Alex Gold, Nick Short with you here as always. We'll get to a survey that I've never seen Nick more excited for. Here in about 12 minutes or so. It's a survey that, honestly, it was so important to Nick that we had to wait until he was back from Thanksgiving, till he was back from his Lincoln Riley press conference out in Southern California as well, that it's a survey that's very important and near and dear to your heart. So we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But let's talk some more Chiefs football with the Chiefs sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. Of course, our own Josh Klingler. You hear him every morning on Festival in the Morning. You'll hear him tomorrow at 6 a.m., Kling, are you a believer in Andy Reid post bye week? I mean, the numbers are there, 19-3 as a head coach for the Chiefs, and he's 7-1 with Mahomes after the bye week, including the postseason. Are you like Fangio, which is, hey, he just wins a lot anyway, or do you actually think there's something to it?
No, I think the extra time. I mean, I don't think Andy Reid's probably great with downtime, right? If he's got football in the brain, that's what we love about him, right? So no, I think he uses the extra time wisely, and I think there is definitely a kind of a reset and a revamping and figuring out what works and what doesn't, and I think that's what makes him good. I think, you know, not to say you shouldn't have downtime, because you should, you absolutely should be able to take that time away. But I just think he's pretty focused and driven, and I think uses it to his benefit. I think that's exactly the reason why he's good coming out of the bye week. He's got a good plan, got extra time to work on it, and he's more often than not been really successful in doing it.
Kling, this nice 11-game stretch the Chiefs have against the AFC West. I mean, it's 3 games in 11 days. You're going to be a busy man, Kling, as far as this is concerned. Who do you fear most if you're the Chiefs playing the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers? Like, who do you value besides the Chiefs the most in the AFC West?
It's a valid question. I was probably holding out on the Chargers, and then Broncos got them last week, and I'm like, man, Denver was a lot better than I thought they would be at this stage of the game. And so I think everybody, to a certain extent, I don't think the Chiefs can feel like they're free and clear of anybody by any means, and we've seen it this season as well. And so I think the Chargers are still probably the most potent. I think the Raiders probably run out of gas. And, you know, I think Denver's doing a heck of a job hanging in despite injuries as well. And I really thought once they got rid of Von Miller, that was kind of throwing the flag up. That hasn't been the case. We'll see where they're at in the quarterback situation as the week goes on as well. But it's probably still the Chargers. I think still that's going to be the biggest game coming up. But, hey, to their credit, the Broncos have put themselves in a position where this is a really big game Sunday night.
I had said, Kling, that I think for on the Chiefs end of it, it's the biggest Chiefs-Broncos game since 2017, which was that last week of the season, and it was Mahomes' debut. Maybe we didn't know it at the time, but that, to me, was the biggest Chiefs-Broncos game to this point.
Let's do the Chiefs, JV.
I know.
Well, the Mahomes era, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. And that left-hand pass game is still pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying this morning. I'm like, I look back and I know the Raiders are supposed to be our hated rival. I've just always had it for the Broncos. I just remember way more of those matchups over the years and how it was trying to be them. And, you know, now they're on an 11-game stretch of winning these games, but it wasn't too long ago where Dick Vermeil was lamenting not being able to win at Mile High, you know? So I've just always felt like this was a bit more of a rivalry to me than those Raiders matchups. The Raiders feels like, you know, predate me. Denver, I have a lot of, I hate the orange. It makes me vomit. I mean, I think there's a lot of pent up stuff with Denver. And so, yeah, those meaningful games, the left-hand pass game is one of the ones that will always stand out to me because it was actually great being in the stadium and watching the Broncos think they had that game and then had it snatched away. And I thought, oh, get used to it. It's Mahomes. You finally saw your first glimpse of Mahomes. And so hopefully they can keep this run going. I think it's going to be a close game, though, Sunday, guys. I mean, I think Broncos are very good defensively, and I think they can do some things defensively to keep themselves in this game. Still don't think they have enough to score on the Chiefs, but, you know, it's up to the Chiefs, too, to prove they can show a little more consistency on offense.
What are you buying more into, the way this defense is playing? You know, 30 points in the last three games, 10 points a game. You buy into the defense, or are you buying into the offense going forward? What's going to be the storyline from the bye week on?
Well, I think I'd love to say that this is the bar set by this defense. I don't know if they can play this well for this long a time, but I think I probably have faith that they can do it, and they're playing with the confidence to do it. If you just take a little step back from the recent 4 week sample size of numbers, I think I'm pretty confident there. And then, yeah, I mean, I think this offense is going to be a matter of time before they get consistent, right? I mean, we've seen them put up points at the Raiders, and you're like, yeah, I know you can do that. So I think that I have confidence that this offense is going to be chugging at some point in time where it's going to look like, you know, what were we worried about? This offense is just fine. There's no reason to feel like they can't do it, or they can't do it on a consistent basis. And so I think it's a mixture of both. I think I've seen enough of the body of work of the offense to think they're gonna completely figure it out. And then defensively, I don't know what it is about Tennessee games. Maybe you got to get Tennessee on the schedule every year and kind of feel like you hit bottom.
Yeah.
Then you figure it out. So if they could just continue to face Tennessee at the opportune times, it turns this defense
I'm
around.
Just taking when Maybe you take your good. Trip, Kling, when you take your trip, because you took a trip to Nashville. You're supposed to be out there scouting, and what a horrible job you did. But I'm looking, maybe it's Vegas next year. I don't know where you're going, Kling, but that may, there's something. Obviously, Cody and Gold jinx the hell out of people when they come on the show, but starting to think your vacations are kind of a jinx.
Well, I mean, yeah, I didn't do any football homework for a number of days there. So,
well, we said you were, yeah.
That probably, yeah. We did disguise it as a scouting trip, but it was. I found a lot of good beers,
and yeah,
a lot of good places to eat. So that was cool. But whatever it is, I mean, remember the Super Bowl years? It was Tennessee, and this year maybe it's Tennessee again that kind of rights the ship for this team defensively. Whatever it is, I guess I'm all for. You'll see the Titans on the schedule if it helps.
Yeah, Kling, what's more annoying and predictable? Barbecue questions to anybody new in Kansas City, Royals or the Chiefs, or Andy Reid bye week questions? Like, which one's the most annoying, predictable question from the media of those two?
Barbecue is more annoying to me,
okay,
for sure. The bye week, you'd still like to get an answer, even though I thought his one the other day was great. Like, I don't know. Like,
Fangio was even asked it.
I thought it was funny, but. Probably the bye week only happens once a year. Barbecue happens, you know, every time there's a new acquisition. So that one to me is way, way more annoying.
We're talking to Josh Klinglow, Chief Sideline Reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. And yeah, there are a lot of comparisons to the 2019 season, I think. And the other thing that happened in 2019 after that Titans game, though, was, yes, the defense played better, but it's not, you would have thought, oh, the Chiefs offense must have been rolling on their way towards the Super Bowl. We know what happened in the playoffs, but they were still, for the most part, averaging like 25, 26 points per game. Do you feel like, with the way this defense is playing, that they approach things a little bit differently offensively under Andy Reid, under Mahomes, to where the Chiefs defense is playing at this level, you're going to see this Chiefs offense not necessarily put up 35 plus points per game, because it's not what they did in 2019 either.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. We've seen that pivot already this year, right? I mean, they seemingly are settling into, okay, maybe this wasn't exactly what we had in mind offensively, but this is how we can play offensively. And so I think that they settle into that. I don't think it's going to be 30 points a game. I think there's going to be a little closer to the norm in terms of kind of regular NFL games. I don't think they're going to, you know, have too many of those Raider-type games. I think they're going to be closer, more contested games. And I don't think it's necessarily even a knock on the Chiefs offense, but I think teams are very good. I think that they have shown that offense can play in a number of different locations now, not just in Kansas City. Others have caught up offensively to what the Chiefs are doing, and we're seeing a lot more teams kind of invest on playing offense. And so, I think that there's a little bit of give and take. This has been a pivot season to a certain extent that, you can't think about 19 and 20 because this doesn't look like 19 and 20, but 21 can be just as successful at the end of it by playing a little more complimentary, by being able to rely on your defense a little bit more, and then, not getting jittery on offense. And hopefully they continue to do that. It's just going to look different. I think it still can be have the same amount of success, but maybe not look as high-powered. I know that, a couple of years ago, or within the past couple of years, I'd look at teams and go, yeah, but can they score with the Chiefs? I don't necessarily look at that this year. It's more along the lines of, can the Chiefs score enough against that particular defense, and can I rely on the Chiefs defense to come up and make big plays? And it is a lot more complimentary than we've had probably the last couple of years, but I think that's a little more realistic this year.
Kling, just one final thing for you from me. Bob and I talked about it this week. We had Pete Sweeney on. The Arrowhead Pride, our friends over there, did a survey about it too. Since we're in the bye week, who do you think is more responsible on the Chiefs for this team being 7-4, a winning record for this team? Basically, what I'm saying is, who do you think has been the best player for the Chiefs up to this point? Because it's interesting what you say about Mahomes or not.
I mean, I think the reason they're 7-4 is the defense. I think it actually maybe they got them in trouble in the beginning of the season, but if this defense doesn't play like this over the last four games, we're not talking about a 7-4 team, right? So I guess I'd probably give my nod to the defensive side of the football. If I had just an individual player, it's just tough to pin down. Individual guys have had individual moments. And you'd love to say Mahomes, but Mahomes hasn't always been terrific. You'd love to say someone specific on defense, but Chris Jones is probably your best player.
There's the answer. You got it. All right. You hit it.
He hasn't given it to you game in and game out. But Jones has a chance to be for the remainder of the season, based on, kind of his most recent batch of games, and he continues to play that all year long. You're probably going to be looking at Chris Jones, but he's a little bit incomplete from the first half because he didn't play that entire time.
It's clearly Creed Humphrey. You can say it. Hashtag Creed is good. It's clearly Creed.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that's what you were fishing for.
Yeah,
I should have known better.
You know that.
Now you nailed the fish.
Josh Klingler, Chiefs side and reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear Kling tomorrow at 6 a.m. as always during Fesco in the morning. Thanks, Kling.
Later.
All right, that's Josh Klingler. He joins us each and every Wednesday.
Who's been the most irreplaceable player
for
this team?
Chris Jones is a strong answer to the question that you posed.
I'm 100% going Jones, only because Tyreek Hill's right there for the offense because he changed the way he plays from the vertical line route guy to a intermediate guy. But with this defense turnaround, this is why Chris Jones is the guy for me, because he makes such a difference with the sacks, the batted balls, just his presence in there making other players better. I can really see that from him with this defensive line. He makes Jaren Reed, perfect example, sack and a half the last two games. It's Chris Jones back there on the inside more.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Tyreek Hill, we were looking at the number. I mean, the pacing he is on in targets and receptions this year.
He's already 84 second in the league, got three more for his career high.
He's going to end up with like 190 targets this year.
He's an all-around. I mean, he does everything now.
Yeah, it's insane to take a look at that. We'll get to something that had Bink reminiscing about a time that you and I spent in Dallas, actually.
We did.
We'll
get to that. In Dallas. Remember the angry dog?
We'll get to that in just a second. Yes, I do remember. I do remember evening.
We spent a night in Dallas.
Well, yeah, at Big 12 Media Day. So we'll get to that. But honestly, if you notice throughout the show today.
What are you laughing?
Nick's been waiting. Like, if we were to ask Nick, hey, man, what's wrong? He's like, I just can't wait till 1:15 or so.
You were in diapers when we were in Dallas.
Well, no, it's because there was a survey that was put out.
Man, check your math there, man. Bink.
I'm kidding, man. How do I know how long you wore them? You might still wear them.
Listen.
Certainly with your picks, you're wearing them.
I'm not here to talk about that, Bink.
I'm going to let you just handle this. This is right up your alley. This is something that you wanted to talk about last week, but all of us were gone. We waited just till today, till you were back for this.
All right. No further ado. I can take it from here. Alex.
Okay.
So first off, I would just like to say, what we're about to discuss here was brought to my attention on Wednesday of last week, which would have been December 24th, a full 24 hours after the results of this poll were made public on Reddit. It is a poll of 316 women who were surveyed and then ranked how hot each NFL head coach is on a scale of 1 to 10 based on the first 10 photos returned by Google Images, okay? So every single NFL head coach ranked 1 to 32 in terms of hotness. Now, the scores were averaged out, so they are given a number for that represents, like, their hotness on the hot scale, right? 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest. Let's start at the top here. The hottest coach, as voted on by these 316 women, is Matt LaFleur with a rating of 8.49. So let's just start right there. Do you guys think Matt LaFleur is deserving of being the hottest coach in the NFL?
I was surprised. I'll admit, I was surprised he rated out as high as he did.
Yeah. Good for him. Remember Kingsbury?
Well, that's, that would have been
Texas
the guess.
Tech, all the moms love Kingsbury.
That would have been the guess.
Him with the shoes up there. You know, Kingsbury, the draft and his house. And there's now Kingsbury.
Kingsbury did score highly. He ranks fourth on the list behind Matt LaFleur, Brian Flores of Miami, a surprise pick there at number two, and then Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, coming in at number three. Saleh, big, buff, bald. You can understand why he's going to rank so highly. So here's some interesting, just to round out the top 10, you got Mike Tomlin, Sean McVay, Mike Vrabel, Kevin Stefanski, and Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick made the top 10.
That sweatshirt. Bink,
don't you think? I think the Heisman vote should go to Bink and let Nick start voting on these kind of awards.
Who would
people's
the gal
men of the year,
why do they have
things
to be
like
mutually
that?
Exclusive?
Because I think it needs to be.
Who would that gal that spent $140 at Outback pick as her sexiest?
I think she would go for a guy like
probably Bruce Arians there.
Dan Campbell, maybe.
Campbell?
Bruce Arians makes a little bit of sense.
Who finished last in this, by the way? I'm fascinated. Who finished dead last?
Last with a bullet would be none other than the head coach that we're going to see up close and personal this week, Vic Fangio.
Well, that's why we brought up
Fangio.
That's why this was the perfect week for it. There's the tie-in. If you're saying, what are you guys talking about this for? The head coach of the Chiefs opponent,
first off,
is in this poll and at the very bottom.
There's nobody listening that's asking why we're talking about this. Everybody knows why we're talking
about it.
That's
all you. It's all you.
Content. By the way, in case you were wondering, Andy Reid comes in at 22nd.
I think that's very respectable. With,
Edible, Andy.
Very respectable for Andy Reid.
5.42 on the hotness scale is Andy Reid.
I think it's very
awesome.
Respectable.
So he's ahead of Sean Payton, Arthur Smith, and Frank Reich.
And Joe Judge.
Mike McCarthy.
How about Mike Zimmer? I mean, so Mike Zimmer is fourth lowest on this. Isn't he the head coach that's dating like a 30-year-old supermodel?
Mike Zimmer is dating as a supermodel, 10 out of 10 babe girlfriend.
Good for him.
They don't know. The voters must not know.
That's impressive. Text line wants to know where Sean McVay is at. Didn't you say that? He's right behind.
McVay comes in at 6.
There you go.
Right behind Mike Tomlin.
How about Andy at 22, man? That's awesome.
I think that's a strong showing.
As one of the oldest coaches in the league, for him to come in at 22.
Very respectable.
That's a testament.
Pete Carroll's the oldest coach in the league, right?
Yeah, he turned 70, 71 this year.
71 in September, something like that. And he's, what, 10th on this?
I think Belichick, and the way that he wears those sweatshirts, like that cut off one he had not too long ago, right around the belly, and that belly was hanging out, you know?
I mean, Belichick.
Nick has been waiting a week to get to this topic.
It infuriates me that nobody brought this to my attention, that I had to scour the internet to find this content. This was actually done by, I don't know who did the actual poll, but it was the Green Bay Packers official Reddit forum.
Oh, I mean, that's as official as it gets.
Of course they did.
I mean, that's how stuff
is
decided.
Chart. There's a chart and there's graphics, so obviously it's legit. Are you saying we should conduct
our own survey?
We could do it among 610 personalities. Bink thinks he's being.
Text line
by
says, read all 32, please.
Hey, if Andy reads 22, I stand a chance, you know?
Belichick was just ahead of Kyle Shanahan and Pete Carroll. Dan Campbell was after Pete Carroll. Sean McDermott, then Bruce Arians, Zach Taylor, John Harbaugh, Matt Nagy, Nick Sirianni.
Would it be bearded Alex or non-bearded Alex?
Well, because the beard's going away as soon as the Chiefs.
That's a good look, man. See,
if the
you
Chiefs
need to keep that's
as long as the Chiefs
look,
keep winning, I will not shave it off.
Just keep it to stubble. Keep something there.
So that's what's going to happen. I'm probably going to
you look more of a man now.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Nick.
This makes him look more of a man.
This will bring this conversation full circle.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Amongst the top 10 vote getters here in the NFL hot head coaches poll, you've got Matt LaFleur, Brian Flores, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike Tomlin, Sean McVay, Mike Vrabel, Kevin Stefanski. That's 8 out of 10 of the 10 hottest coaches in the NFL sporting some sort of facial hair. Only Robert Saleh and Bill Belichick aren't currently sporting facial hair. So, ipso facto, facial hair makes you hot. You want to do well in this poll, it would be wise to maybe keep that beard around. Because me and Bink, I mean, these hairs aren't going anywhere, bud.
Look at us, man. Look at us. Both of us out here.
Just, soak it in,
just
bucko.
Just hitting that world, man. Both of us. Like champs. Swipe right, baby.
Swipe right, baby. Nick also is compared to Lincoln Riley.
You need to change all your profiles for your dating stuff.
Yeah, can you imagine if Lincoln Riley would have taken an NFL head coaching job? He'd immediately throw us into the top 10, if not 5, right?
Lincoln Riley probably might be dead last.
Well, but Nick fancies himself as Lincoln Riley.
Yeah,
so.
I think he'd be dead last.
I don't fancy myself as Lincoln Riley.
You were quote-tweeting USC tweets this week. You were embracing it.
That's just too...
You were gone on Monday. You were out in Southern Cal.
Yeah, he's out in L.A. He got on that private jet at Norman at 6 a.m.
That's right.
People say it, so I just like people play along. It. I play the along people. With the bit. Yeah.
The people.
Persons.
The people. About, Bink, you were reminiscing about something.
Reminiscing.
Why did you bring up something that happened in Dallas, 7 years ago?
Because you and I were together in Dallas.
Big 12 media days.
Big 12 media days. You were, I forget what station you were at.
I probably had Topeka at the time or something. Or,
you weren't in Boise at that point.
I wouldn't have been at Big 12 media days if I was in Boise.
But Alex and I fancy ourselves as guys looking for the free handout. And there was a free cocktail party at Fox Sports, and Barry Switzer was there. And I told Alex, I said, I've got to get a Switzer selfie.
Legend.
Had to get a Switzer selfie, so I did.
Switzer selfie.
Then I took Alex to the Angry Dog, best burgers in Dallas. Best burgers in Texas. I'd put them top 3 in the country. As a matter, did you like the Angry Dog?
It was very good.
Thank you. Stand by the Cotton Bowl. So we took a little trip down there. This is Alex and I in Dallas. It was great. But I saw this story from, it's going around. Barry Switzer likes Mike Leach as the next coach of Oklahoma. So that's what brought it up.
Bink likes it because Bink thinks Mike Leach would be a good fit in OU. So you found that Barry Switzer said it as well. So now you feel vindicated.
If Switzer said it, I mean, what's Stoops thinking at this point?
Yeah.
If Stoops and Switzer were on this.
Isn't Mike Stoops like a decade younger than Mike Leach?
Hold on. You're talking Mike Stoops or Bob Stoops? Who are you talking about?
Well, Mike Leach is 60.
Is not going anywhere.
How old's Bob Stoops?
Bob Stoops is 61.
Really? Looks pretty good on Fox.
He's still going to have that job and be the interim coach, you said.
Nick's going to call with his college football coach hotness rankings here pretty soon.
Well, that'd take forever to collect that data.
Just the top 100.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Power 5. If you're not Power 5, you're not hot. Not hot enough.
Drinkwitz, Leipold, or Kleiman?
Leipold. And that's just my unbiased opinion.
It's totally biased.
And that's just my unbiased opinion. Well, it's clearly not climbing.
Oh, my goodness. Coming up next, we get you to what's trending and just how close are the Broncos.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, a little college football schedule news for the local schools here in the area for 2022, including a game that I think people will be talking about as we get closer and closer to that. How about Kansas State of Missouri hooking up for some college football next year, Bink? September 10th, that's week two of the college football season, K-State will be hosting Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri Tigers. I know you're going to be excited for that.
Yeah, they're
going
to play anyway. It's nice to have a date on this game. I think it's going to be fun because, you know, locally we talk, you know, is Kleiman better than Drinkwitz at this point? And, you know, Leipold will get in that conversation, I believe, eventually, but not there yet. But, yeah, just a huge local bragging rights game. And we'll have both of them on our stations here at Odyssey.
That's right. Well, we will. That is true.
We have the Missouri side and the K-State side. If
Manhattan,
you listen to K-State, 610 Sports Radio.
Manhattan will be rocking for that one. That is for sure next season. Sticking with college football, though, Bank, number two on what's trending, Brian Kelly, introductory press conference today down in LSU, now the LSU head coach, and he's doing the media rounds today. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, and they were talking about him going to LSU, not staying at Notre Dame. And we know with the college football playoff rankings coming out, you know, what perhaps that could have meant for him staying there or not. This is Brian Kelly's answer on the Dan Patrick Show.
If you were ranked third right now, Coach, would you still be in Louisiana?
Oh, I don't know, Dan. You know, those are tough questions, you know. I mean, I'm a pretty honest guy and would tell you, but those are so hard to, you know, to answer relative to what I had done something different in that situation. And I really couldn't tell you, to be honest with you, because it's not the case. But I really couldn't answer that question.
I love how he basically says, if I knew, I'd tell you. If I knew, I'd tell you, but I really, there's no way to know.
They still stand a 58% chance to make the postseason.
Yeah.
Now, so.
Yeah.
Right on the outside looking in, he would have still gone.
Sticking with coaching, too, though, there's another name that's out there for Oklahoma now, at least the reports are maybe Oklahoma's looking into.
Yeah, Dan Lanning, defensive coordinator at Georgia. Obviously, Georgia, the best defense in the country. Played a jewel, coaches in Park Hill South, little local flavor in Oklahoma, if that's where he decided to go.
Last year, he was a candidate for the Kansas.
And now he's a candidate for the OU job.
Was he just not good enough for that?
Hey,
or were they
Katie
buying into
somebody,
it's Kirby Smart's defense?
KU went opted for somebody who had experience.
I like the Leipold. I always have. The Lance.
I do too.
I'm not a Kansas guy at all, but that's like the
honestly,
first thing that came to my mind.
Probably worked out for everybody involved because now Dan Lanning gets to decide whether or not he wants to go to Oklahoma instead of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's a more attractive situation for him to be in. I did like that he was linked to the Kansas job because he was from here.
Leach was.
That's usually where a lot of those start, right? A lot of the beat writers that do their coaching candidate list, they start with, well, who once stepped foot in the state?
He went to William Jewell 20 years ago, so I'm sure he spent the last two decades daydreaming about becoming the Kansas head football
his
coach
wife's,
one day.
His wife's cousin's daughter's boyfriend's mother was from Kansas.
Well, he'll get to see his second great in-laws
Bill Snyder,
every year
William
during
Jewell.
Thanksgiving, and that'll
of course,
be nice.
Bill Snyder went to Mizzou, too, his first year, but he ended up there. But I don't know, man. Dan Lanning. Again, you have to be cautious of who the head coach is, what his background is in, before you make a decision. As I said, Pete Carroll's had Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn. You know, they go off under that umbrella of Pete Carroll running that defense. Because that's where it's at.
Next up on What's Trending, college basketball. Just one of the local schools in action, K-State tonight, hosting Albany.
Yeah, Albany's good, 1-5. You know, it's just a good matchup.
not a Great Dane fan?
No, I don't have a show tonight because of Albany's
been in the Albany's been in the NCAA tournament a couple times here over the last 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, right now, they're not.
KU, Missouri in action a little bit later on in the week.
And also what's trending here, NBC and Chris Collinsworth in negotiation to pay him around $12.5 million range and keep him as a Sunday Night Football analyst in 2025. The Post is, why the hell are we bitching about college coaches when Collinsworth can be out here at 12.5?
Well, he's got the premier analyst seat in the NFL. Sunday Night Football is the game you want to be on.
Let's be honest, who's better, him or Romo? It's Romo.
Well, Romo makes considerably more. Romo is—he's
like about 19, isn't he?
Isn't Romo's contract like $120 million at least?
He's making the big bucks.
So I think it's fun. It works. I don't mind Collinsworth. I know some people don't like Collinsworth. I actually like Collinsworth on the broadcast plenty. I know they're grooming Chirico and Breeze to take over for when Al Michaels and Collinsworth hang it up, but it looks like Collinsworth not going anywhere until at least 2025.
He's probably going straight back to PFF. He bought him.
Yeah, he's got his hand in that big time. Lastly, on What's Trending, according to NFL Network, future Hall of Fame running back Adrian Peterson visiting the Seattle Seahawks today. He, of course, was on the Titans for a couple weeks, then they cut him, and now Seattle, who has Chris Carson out for the season. They had Alex Collins, but now it looks like they're looking at Adrian Peterson. I guess he can get a couple bucks over there because the Seahawks aren't going anywhere. They're 3-8. Their season's done.
Hall of Fame career just does not have it at this point.
That's not even him. It's just like in Seattle. Like, why?
Couple practice squad guys. Yeah. Hillier didn't form it, doing better in Tennessee than what he did.
Yeah, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, about 20 minutes or so, we'll hand things off to CDOT on the drive. Pete Sweeney will join CDOT coming up at 3 o'clock. Normally, they'd be having you stop in, I feel like, a couple times a week. Bank?
It was Tuesday. It was yesterday.
No, it was. Okay.
We talked about...
Bank's been everywhere.
College
Bank's
football, we talked about Chiefs, and we talked about Best Burger Joint in Kansas City. It's a great combo.
Of course. What is the answer for you, Best Burger Joint?
Taze.
So that's one I got to go to. So I actually have never been.
My
never been. I know they're
Vortex,
opening a...
Atlanta, Angry Dog, and Taze.
They're opening a Taze in the airport. That's part of one of part of the new airport.
The one in NKC is the original, man. That's the one.
There's one you told me near the station, though, right? That they opened up.
Yeah, they opened one out south here.
Oh, maybe it's more my neck of the woods. Here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely towards you.
Like really close? Like out? How far south?
I don't know. I don't go to that one, but I will tell you, it's in Overland Park. It's 11.2 miles from here.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. Multiple people have said that I need it.
Oh, it's 151st Street.
That's even further south than I am, but that's still okay. That's not bad. I'll check that out.
Dan Lanning would like to win in North Kansas City. That's where he's from. Just saying.
Bringing
the Dan Lanning burger?
I've heard it's been his dream to bring a title bring a title back to Northeast Kansas while also having a local cheeseburger named after him.
You've made it when that happens.
When you've got a food item named after you. Really?
Yeah, I can't believe there's not a Bink Burger yet.
No, it's there surprising. Used to be onion rings, though. It was on the menu at Uncle D's. Chili cheese onion rings.
Uncle D's.
I'm not kidding you. Because I asked him once when I first got up there. I said, what do you put chili and cheese on fries, tater tots? What on onion rings? It's a good idea. Put it on the menu.
Let me guess. Best thing you've ever tasted.
Yeah. Well, Kasky got sick on it because I think he drank too much, but they were delicious.
No, I mean, I've told that story multiple times.
Because both of you guys were in the car together.
Yeah, he's told on it.
I got Alex drunk one night.
We were up there. I was a part-timer and intern at the
time.
You had
a show the next morning.
We were doing
a
show from training camp, and Ryan and I were hosting it the next day. And Ryan, he says he just got sick from your menu item, by the way. But he right before the show, he puked, Nick, and we went to training camp. He didn't know he had throw up all over his shorts while we were standing up at training camp for the whole hour.
Remember how much beer I gave you? I said this helps you on your show the next morning, Alex.
Dude, if you vomit, your day's over. If you vomit, your day's over.
He didn't know at the time.
But he knew he vomited.
Well, yeah, but he didn't know it was all over the side of his shorts.
Back at the hotel, he kept drinking.
If you vomit, you go home. End of story.
Yeah.
There's no powering through it unless you're an athlete.
Alex and I have a big history, actually.
If you wear buttons on your shirts and you vomit during the day, you go home. End of discussion.
And you don't blame it on my menu item.
Yeah, he was just hungover. That's all it was.
With the beers we kept having at like 3 a.m. back at the hotel.
Can I blame my... What? You can't blame the vomit on your menu item, but you can probably blame a host of other health concerns on it.
I mean, look at me. I do night shows now.
Right. Yeah.
Someone out there needs to give our guy Bink another menu item. He used to have one. Imagine having that taken away from you. Imagine the devastation.
Oh, they took it off the menu?
Well, the place isn't
open anymore.
It's
gone.
They're closed.
But it was on there for a while. And the show used to be the Big Show with Vern and Pearson. But they called them Binkley Big Show Rings.
You put them out of business, according to the text line.
Google it. It's on the menu still.
Man.
Just saying.
Is there any local restaurateurs who are willing to give Bink a menu item?
Yeah, he needs one back. This guy is all over the city. He's filling in all over the place. He once had a menu item. He needs his menu item back.
One more.
You want a burger this time, though, right? Yeah, that's stipulation.
Okay.
Andy Locke, I'm looking at you.
Well, the Chiefs will take on Andy Locke's son in the Denver Broncos, Drew Locke, of course. And it looks like things are trending towards
Teddy
Bridgewater.
And by the way, that's one of my favorite burgers in the city, his joint. The animal-style burger.
A couple really good restaurants in town, as a matter of fact. But Drew Locke and the Broncos, how close are they to being a contender in this division? Because I still struggle, Bink, despite them sitting there with 6 wins, despite what they just did against the Chargers, I don't take them all that seriously.
You know I don't, but that's...
Because of the quarterback situation.
That's what I was asking Ferguson. And again, you ask him the question, because he doesn't work for a station that works for the Denver Broncos, and I was just like...
Yeah, former Bronco Nick Ferguson joined us earlier today.
Because Teddy Bridgewater, he said, could be a backup quarterback. He's on the final year of his contract, but... When you look at Patrick in the contract, Sutton, Judy's back there, Noah Fant, Javonte Williams, which I think was a tremendous pick out of North Carolina. The defense with Surtain in this defense, third in the NFL in points against. They're missing a quarterback and coach. Listen, Fangio does a great job with the defense, but it's one thing about him. I really like the Denver Broncos roster, but if you're not changing both, which I think would put Denver, because Denver's going to keep treading water like they are now. They're going to be just an average football team, maybe a little
bit
above average team.
That's what it is.
But they've got to change one of the two at least to be a contender. Because you have to look at this division and think, all right, Mahomes here, Herbert, Carr's actually having a better year than Herbert at this point. And you think, man, that's the one thing. Because they got so lucky with Manning. Like, they were able to pass that torch. Because they were struggling at the quarterback. Always looking. Manning was the difference maker for them. Led them to a Super Bowl. Even that one year, they won that Super Bowl. Manning, you could say it's maybe more about their defense than Peyton Manning at that point. But, Denver's always been searching for that guy. He doesn't exist, I don't believe, in this year's draft for that team. And, again, you get these new contracts that were just signed a couple weeks ago between the extensions for Sutton and Patrick. And Judy's ready to go. He's still at first contract. But, again, eventually these teams get to pay the piper, and that window of opportunity just keeps closing in the NFL. Unless you make a bold move with coach and quarterback, you've got to do it. They know. They know deep down.
Sure, they do.
This is something they have to do.
I'm with you on the roster. I like their roster, and they're healthy this year for the most part, which has been a difference. Because a year ago, they still had Sutton. They had Fant. Those guys got banged up.
And
they hurt Jerry
Jeudy. Bowles is coming back.
So I like the roster, but it's not just two small fixes. I mean, these are your head. They might need to fix their head coach, and they might need to fix their quarterback. And that's they're not close at all, then, Bink, because right now they're in the middle where they're gonna probably have the 17th overall pick, 18th overall pick in the draft. And we, as you said, the draft class for quarterbacks is very weak this year. They had a chance to draft one this past year. Instead, they went with Surtain, who's going to be a great 10-plus year pro, I'm sure, in the league. He's going to have a great all-pro career maybe as well, but he's not a quarterback. He's a cornerback. And so they're going to be in this no-man's land for a while. Even if they get a new head coach, they're still going to need it. They're banking on this roster next year in the offseason, they can go and talk themselves into getting Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, if you were Fangio, you got to worry about the defense, because right now the defense is the story in Denver.
Now, look, if they get Rodgers or Russell Wilson in the offseason, then of course. Or Watson. Again, I don't know if Watson would want to go to Denver. He has a no-trade clause, but we'll see.
Wait, that was one of the target teams for him.
That was the report.
Supposedly, allegedly, he wanted to go there.
Yeah, so we'll see. Like, they're not that close when you still say, oh, we need the quarterback and we might need a coach. Then you're not close. Like, yeah, that's what you and I were talking earlier about the Chargers. You like the Broncos roster better than the Chargers roster. And there's some guys that are aging out a little bit on that Chargers roster, but they have at least the quarterback. I know Herbert hasn't had the year we thought he would have. I still have no doubts that Justin Herbert is going to be a franchise quarterback for 10-plus years. We know that's not the answer.
Top to bottom, you would take Denver's roster over the Chargers.
If they don't get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers next year, no. Because they're not going to have it. They're not in a position because they're in no man's land. They're
and
not bad enough.
We still know about Staley. Defensive minded guy, 32nd rank run defense. You know, he had the Rams number
Fine.
One defense.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a strength.
But the hardest part is finding the quarterback. And to me, they found
the
quarterback.
They got rid of Gus Bradley. He goes to the Raiders. I mean, what have they done? They haven't improved. It reminds me of Brian Billick when he went to Baltimore. He was the offensive genius and went 15-1 that final year up in Minnesota. But it was all about the defense. You know, in Baltimore, which clearly wasn't any doing it. That's why he's not coaching in the NFL right now, because I think teams realize that. But, yeah, I mean, there's other options. Denver needs to go the offense. They went defense with Fangio. Got to stop Mahomes. That's what they're looking. That's why they geared up in the draft with guys like Patrick Surtain for this draft. But a new head coach is not out of the realm of possibilities if you want to take it to the next level. Denver's got the team. But, again, do you want to waste that roster? Because that roster gets some really good talent on it.
Yeah, you can't waste the roster. But, again, it's like next offseason, if they are able to somehow get Russell Wilson, let's just use him for the example, then, yeah, the Broncos suddenly are the biggest challenger of the Chiefs in the division. Just like that. I don't deny that. But that's a big, big, big if. Otherwise, they're going to convince themselves that they can run out Teddy Bridgewater there again next year. That's why Teddy Bridgewater won the job over Drew Lock. One, he doesn't make the mistakes, but also, Drew Lock, you were more likely to win 3 or 4 games. Teddy Bridgewater, you're not going to have a terrible year with Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to win you 7 or 8 games this year. And now, the way they're playing, he might actually get you to 9.
By the way, George Payton, the GM, should be relieved of his duties if either Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers are not the starting quarterback for the Broncos next year. Because that's the whole reason that they passed on drafting a quarterback, was because they thought that next offseason it was a more robust market to go out and get a ready-made quarterback. Okay, you better be right. Because
they've been great at quarterbacks, haven't they, since Manning? They've been so good at that.
If you didn't draft one and you can't acquire one, then what would you say you're actually doing? Treading water, because that's not going to cut it with that roster.
I see them wasting a team until they're bold enough to make those two switches.
That's why I don't think they're as close. I mean, we can say they're close, but the two most important, you may not have the right coach and you don't have the right quarterback.
That's an issue. It's a big problem. But a hell of a roster besides that.
I know, but like it's like when I think it was Dan Orlovsky the other day on ESPN. He was talking about Tua down in Miami. You know, he's playing better the last couple weeks. He said, you know, Tua, he's just two wide receivers and a better offensive line away. So are a lot of quarterbacks. Like, you're not close then. If you need a quarterback and a coach, you're not that close as a team. And if you're the quarterback and you're like, he could be really good if he just had two elite wide receivers and had an elite offensive line. Well, no bleep. Like, a lot of quarterbacks would look better if that was the case.
They would. I mean, again, the biggest concern they would have to have is, like, their defense, like I said, 3rd in points against us. Defense has been playing extremely well. But Fangio, big part of that defense. You know, he's one of the better defensive minds, but do you really want to lose that? But, again, they got so much talent on offense. It's ridiculous where they sit. Scoring offense, 21st in the NFL, 20.7 points a game with those kind of stars on offense. I mean, they're far, far under expectations for what that offense should be. And a lot of that stems from the quarterback position. Shermer, I know he got a second year there. Because Locke, before, you know, he had gone through all those offensive coordinators going back to Missouri. He had a new one every year. Obviously, Bridgewater won the job. Both of them played kind of halfway decent in the preseason. But obviously, Bridgewater wins the job. I don't think they're satisfied with either of them. And Fangio's still making his remarks about Drew Locke and how he could have been better last week in a little cup of coffee he had. Well, he hadn't played, and he threw him out there in that situation. The way his wording with his quarterbacks, again, good defensive mind, but again, this team needs more direction if they want to hang with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
For the Broncos on Sunday, and we'll have a couple more days this week to dive deeper into them. And Nick Ferguson, who joined us, he mentioned like just the magnitude of this game for them. Yes, in the short term, it's first place, but in a weird way, and this is why they're in a bad spot to a certain extent. Like if they beat the Chiefs, let's say the Broncos win against the Chiefs, he said, well, then people in Denver might actually buy into Teddy Bridgewater being the guy. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, that might be the worst thing that can happen for you. Like, if you try to really, like, yes, you for this year, winning the game.
And get them both job security, which actually isn't the worst thing in the world.
Right, and it's weird. Like, the Chiefs need to win this game. But, like, if the Chiefs were to lose to the Broncos, it could actually set the Broncos up even worse for the next 3 or 4 years.
I mean,
it's
go on a stretch where they're beating the Cowboys, they beat the Chargers, they beat the Chiefs.
I'd have to respect the Broncos. If they beat the Chiefs on Sunday, I'll have to respect the Broncos in the short term. Absolutely, I would have to.
I respect the defense
to this point. I don't take them seriously as a team, though, Bink. Like first it was to their credit, they bounced back. They had a 3-0 start and then they were to all, you know, teams that were 0-9 and then they fell back and we said, oh, it's the Broncos or who we thought they were. And yes, to their credit, they've beaten the Cowboys and the Chargers since then. And that's what's put them in a position to play for first place on Sunday night. But because of that quarterback play, I just don't actually think once they lose to Kansas City on Sunday, I think they're going to end up finding a way to win two more games. And they're going to be like, it would be 8-9, I guess, with the new format in the league this year. It'll be 8-9.
It's not going to win it.
It'll keep your job. I heard you
talk about quarterbacks the other day. You buying into the whole, a lot of these quarterbacks played with no noise or 20% capacity when they did. They could audible at will. They could communicate with their team. And now all of a sudden you have the fans back and some of their numbers are sliding back. You buying into any of this? Because we saw road teams since the merger having the better record. The road team's barely better than the home team.
I just think home field advantage is not what it was 5 years ago in general. Yeah, last year for obvious reasons, but even now, I mean, you used to say, oh, that team is 4-point favorites. Well, they're getting 3 points because they're the home team. That's not the case anymore, Bink. Like now it's worth 1 point. Now if you're a home team, it's worth 1 point now in the NFL. It's changed. I don't think that's why we've seen some of the downturn in performance from the quarterbacks. I think it's as Nick and Cody and I, we've talked about quite a bit throughout the season, just the way teams are playing quarterbacks and who's going to actually make the adjustment. It took a few weeks for Mahomes to do it or a month. Now, are we going to see Josh Allen make those adjustments? Or are we going to see Dak Prescott make those adjustments? At some point, defenses are going to play Mac Jones a certain way. Will he be able to adjust? Is that going to happen before this season ends? Or is that going to be something that doesn't happen until next season? Bink, appreciate you filling in, man. And a lot
of fun. Thanks, man. It's
fun. Hey, Bink, but do you think anybody who played in the NFL before 1995 would even make it in the league in 2021?
Yeah, a few
Something
of them.
Something to chew on.
A few of them.
Bink's got his chew literally ready to roll
for the show, Dan. Anytime.
Cody's back with us tomorrow from 10 to 2. Harrison Butker, 10:30 tomorrow. The Chiefs kicker joins us. The Drive.
Don't jinx him.
Coming up next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.